We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. I know it. Sucks around here because on Saturday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, had a press conference, and you knew it was important if it's a Saturday press conference. You don't see that often. And he said that everybody in the state of Louisiana, we all have to wear masks now. But here, around here in New Orleans, in Jefferson Parish, we already had to anyways. Anywhere we go, any building we go in, any business we go in, we have to have a mask on. So Governor Edwards said the rest of the state has to join us. And the other thing he said, which was really a kick in the gut to a lot of people, he basically shut down all the bars in the state of Louisiana. Bars can stay open, but they can't have anybody drinking at the bar. The only way they could stay open is to do curbside drink service. And even if bars serve food, there can still be no one sitting at the bar drinking because they're blaming bars for the reason why the numbers of positive COVID-19 tests are getting higher and higher and higher. They're flat out blaming bars. And it kind of stinks. I mean, here in New Orleans, imagine New Orleans without bars.
You don't have to imagine anymore. We can just watch it happen.
Yeah. That's Holman. That's almost like saying New Orleans without jazz, New Orleans without live music, because we haven't been able to have that.
Yeah.
Because crowds can't gather together. So now, as we sit here in mid-July, in the summer of New Orleans, in the summer of 2020, here in New Orleans, we have no bars, can't drink alcohol in bars. We have no live music. I mean, did you ever think? You would say, I mean, Hurricane Katrina was one thing. The levees failed us, and people got flooded. You couldn't, and that sucked. You could rebuild that.
But I wonder how curbside drinking would work when you could just go into a Rouse's inside and grab you a six-pack and walk out, but you can't walk inside of a bar and get one beer. It's going to be weird to see how this all plays out.
No, this is going to be... We don't know how long that this is going to be like this for. And it's interesting, too, because, casinos are still open.
Yeah.
And you still go into Walmarts and you go into Home Depots and Lowe's and you go into some supermarkets, grocery stores. Now everybody's wearing a mask. But those places were just always packed with people during this whole coronavirus shutdown of everything else, and didn't see tons of people getting sick in those places. I don't know. But all you can do is do the best you can do to help stop the spread of this. But boy, I go on social media and I see I see people on both sides of this argument so passionate. I got a bunch of Facebook friends that say, stop thinking of yourself. Just wear a mask and shut up. And then I see other people saying, it's unconstitutional. We're going to fight this and we shouldn't have to wear masks. And then it's become political, like everything else, every other issue seemingly that happens in our lives now becomes political. And as soon as something happens, you know which group of your friends are going to be on one side of an argument, and you know exactly which group of your friends are going to be on another side of an argument, no matter what the argument is, because it becomes political.
I'm more worried about the economic implications. You know, I was actually, when the press conference happened, I was sitting in a bar watching John Bel Edwards tell me no more bars. And the first thing I thought of, oh, the bartender, her tips.
Yeah.
That's how she survives. And so it's like now, like, how, like, economically, and some of these bars rely on tourism, like, they were just getting started to rebuild their money from the first phase one, phase two shutdown. And it's like, now they have to regress back.
Well, many of the bars, Coleman, going back to when they were originally shut down before they reopened,
mm-hmm.
when they were originally shut down, many of the bar owners got government loans.
Okay.
And those government loans were for their employees to keep them going while the bars and the restaurants were shut down. I don't know. I don't know the second go around now of bar shutdowns. I don't know how many of those are going to be available. I don't know if they're going to be available, but yeah, this is awful. But I mean, it just got me thinking of someone who's lived in the city of New Orleans for a long time now. I mean, New Orleans with no live music, no drinking alcohol in bars, no bars open, no live music. It's like those are a couple of the main arteries that keep this city's heart beating, that keeps this city going.
Yeah, we might as well be Columbus, Ohio at this
point. Oh, hey, don't say that. They're still trying to figure out if they're gonna change their name to Flavortown, Ohio. Yeah. So that's where Guy Fieri's from, and he came up with that name, the guy from the Food Channel. Anyways, who knows how long this is going to be. But all we could do is suck it up. And like I said, I want this to end as soon as possible. And if they say wearing masks can slow the spread, if they say wearing masks can save some lives, I know it sucks.
Yeah, well, the mayor said we'll revisit it on July 24th, and based on how these 2 weeks go, he'll make another decision. So we just
gotta... we're done through at least Labor Day. I'll tell you that right now. Nothing, these bars aren't reopening till at least Labor Day. He can say what he wants about July 24th, but tough time. This is obviously very, very tough time, and we're thinking about the employees and the bars and the restaurants that they, just like so many other people, have had their lives just absolutely turned upside down by this crap. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And as we sit here in the middle of the worst year in most of our lives, 2020, of course there's record-breaking heat going on here in the New Orleans metropolitan region. This past weekend was something. And I usually don't talk about the weather very much, because when you live in New Orleans and it's July, to say it's hot, and when I see people say it's hot on social media, I'm like, duh. You know, that's like living in North Dakota in December and saying, boy, it's cold. But when you're close to breaking records, and it's going to continue. It wasn't just this past week, and this week, today is going to be rough. A heat advisory. We're either approaching record heat or tying record heat or beating record heat, all by 1 or 2 degrees. When it's 95, 96, 97 here in New Orleans, you add the humidity, it feels like 115, 116. And although I'll be honest with you, I've spent time in the desert. I have relatives and friends out in Arizona. And I've been to Vegas a lot. I've actually lived in Vegas for a few months. And I'll take the 112, 113 degree heat in the desert with no humidity over the 95 or 96 degree heat here in New Orleans with the soupy humidity that makes it feel like 115 or 116 degrees any day of the week.
Just to give you an example of how COVID-19 has taken hostage of the narrative, if this was 2 years ago, we'd have had a whole global warming ordeal on the news right now. It's global warming. We need to stop exhaust pipes and we need to start driving electric cars. You know, that would have been the argument though, and the outrage if you just said, oh, we had record-breaking heat over the weekend. Oh, that's because you're driving those SUVs and those big trucks.
Yeah, but there's a couple of other things that are happening in our country, like you mentioned, Coleman, that are getting all the news. And we had some bad news given to us here in Louisiana on Saturday. You knew it was going to be a pretty big deal when the governor of the state, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, said, I'm going to have a press conference on Saturday. You don't usually see press conferences over the weekend like that. But he did that to tell us that everybody in the state now has to wear a mask no matter what building you're going into. Now, we're used to that around here in New Orleans and in Jefferson Parish, but not in St. Tammany Parish. Again, they were encouraged to wear masks, but there was no mandate. So we all have to wear a mask no matter what building we're going into. And this is all because the coronavirus numbers, the positive tests have been going up in recent weeks since we've gotten into phase two of the reopening. And the other thing that he said, all bars in the state of Louisiana are closed. You can't sit at a bar and have a drink. The only way bars can stay open is if they do curbside service with their booze. And that totally sucks. And we don't know how long this is going to last. And especially in a city like New Orleans, where live music, well, we don't have that. Bars are now closed because you can't drink at a bar. Well, we don't have that. You're talking about two extremely important things that this city doesn't have now. And again, we don't know. We don't know when it's going to come back. And it's gotten so brutal on social media, again, with people. Coleman, I don't know if you see it like this, but my Facebook is a little bit different than everybody else's because I've always used Facebook for the radio show. Going back 11 years, 12 years when Facebook really got going, I've always used it for the radio show. So I have a bunch of people up there. I don't know most of them. I probably have a couple of hundred people on my Facebook page that I knew, that I went to school with, friends, whatever the case may be. But the majority of them, I don't know. And I appreciate it if they listen to the radio show. That's great. But man, oh man, it's a battlefield over there. And the masks, the mandatory masks are the latest. And I got a bunch of my Facebook friends on one side of the argument saying, don't be selfish. You know, just put on a mask and help save some lives and help stop the spread of coronavirus. Then I got people on the other side of the argument saying, this is unconstitutional. The governor can't shut down bars like this. Well, look, I'm not going to be one to tell any bar owner to open up the bar and get fined and then have to go deal with it in a court of law. We've been over this during the last several months on this show. I don't know if you fight some of this stuff, if this stuff could ever hold up in a court of law. You're a business owner. What do you mean the governor just told me I'm not allowed to be open? I own a bar. What do you mean the governor just told me there's nobody could sit at my bar and drink? I guess there's no asterisk in the Constitution of the United States of America, but there's an asterisk right now saying, well, people can't sit there because the coronavirus, this pandemic that we're in, these numbers won't stop going up.
Yeah, and how would they actually enforce this, though? All right, because one of the things he also said was if you are going to have gatherings at your home, since you can't go to bars, there's a limit to the number you can now have at your own personal house. You know, he's like saying only have a certain amount of people. They all have to wear a mask, and they all have to be outside, and they all have to social distance at your own private home. But, you know, like, what, are they going to have a task force to go by people's houses to make sure that they party correctly?
Knocking on doors. How many people are in that house party? How many people are wearing masks? How many people aren't?
I mean, I know Karens are going to have a field day snitching on their neighbors, but we're already short on cops in the city of New Orleans, so, and now these people can't go to bars, so of course you're going to see an uptick in people redesigning their man caves to accommodate that, or women having their she shit and their wine cellars unlocked so they can have their little girl parties. Like, now they just created a black market for bars. Prohibition 2.0.
Or do you think, again, I don't know how long this is going to last. Will we see the return of some speakeasies?
Exactly.
You know, who knows? But this is pretty brutal. They're blaming bars, and I don't know if that's totally fair. But, hey, look, this is a tough time. But I know the people of Louisiana are resilient, been through tough times before, be through tough times again. Got to keep our heads up and just got to make the best of it. We have a lot to do on the show today. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. I saw people arguing on social media about which band was better, Pearl Jam or Alice in Chains. And they were yelling at each other. They were going back and forth. Well, Alice in Chains is better than Pearl Jam. And some other guy, well, they're both better than Nirvana. But we start screaming at each other about the Seattle bands. Why does one have to be better than the other? If you ask me, I think Alice in Chains is a great band. I think Nirvana is a great band. I think Soundgarden's a great band. And I think Pearl Jam is a great band. Why does one have to be better than the other? And who's the expert that knows? Here on Bayou 95.7, Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. So the woman who's in prison now in Brooklyn, New York, Ghislaine Maxwell, that was Jeffrey Epstein's right-hand woman. And Jeffrey Epstein was the multi-millionaire financier who also involved with many underage girls sexually in his lifetime. And last year, he died in that prison cell in New York City. And they say he committed suicide, but he had so much information on so many very, very powerful people. We're talking about the higher-ups of countries all over the world, not just England, with Saudi Arabia, and some of the richest, most famous people here in the United States of America. And so when he died and the memes and the jokes went all over the internet, you know, obviously Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself like they said he did. There are many people, when many billionaires want you dead, they have the money that can make that happen. So they ended up arresting Ghislaine Maxwell. That was his woman, who authorities say, and the reason why they arrested her, she procured the underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein. And she did that for years and years and years. You know, the interesting thing about Epstein, they had him back in the early 2000s in Florida. They had him. They had witnesses. They had, but he skated. When you're that rich, evidently you pay the right people and you can get away with certain things. And you would think messing with underage American girls is one of the things that you couldn't get away with. because most people here in America, at least most people of power, most people who are in law enforcement that have power, they all have daughters, or they all had daughters that age. And when you see girls 14 years old and 15 years old that are being trafficked to this guy, not only all over the country, but all over the world. I mean, sickening stuff. Netflix has a very disturbing documentary about Jeffrey Epstein. Have you ever seen that? Well, anyways, they've got his woman now. And supposedly, according to one of her friends, she's got video recordings of some of the most important, some of the richest, some of the most famous people, not only in America, but in the world, doing sex with underage girls. And if she decides to talk and name names, maybe they'll take some of her jail time. They'll cut some of that jail time off. But in the prison she's in Brooklyn, they have moved her not only every day from different cells to cell, sometimes twice a day. They're worried about assassins. Because again, when so many billionaires want you dead, a lot of money goes a long way. And you wonder how Jeffrey Epstein ended up dying in prison. Well, now here's the woman that knows every bit as much as Jeffrey Epstein and about his famous friends and connections. But they move her constantly around that prison. You know what they should do? They should just have either the warden or the police chief of New York City just take her home with them and handcuff her to the radiator in their homes. And they should hire security just to watch them in their homes if they don't trust her being in the prison.
So would it, like, she has to testify at some point, right?
Yeah.
So you would think, like, the way they have to move her around, that just a judge just follow her around. Like, look, we don't have time. Just give me the names. Like, just hurry up and do it. Like, what are they waiting for? Hurry up. Get her in front of a microphone. Get her in front of a camera.
They've had her in custody for a week and a half.
Yeah, that's a lot of
time.
That's
10, 11 days. They should have gotten her to talk already.
Yes.
But that's not how our system works. She has to literally go into a court of law, put her hand on a Bible and say, I'll tell the truth, get up on the witness stand. And
well, set up a Zoom meeting and say, hey, we can't have her in the actual courtroom because of COVID-19. That they could just set up a camera, FaceTime, a Zoom or something like that, do all the little, swearing in. They could get that done in like an hour.
But this is going to be something else. And you talk about real life that is now depicting a movie. Yeah. This right here, the names that this woman supposedly has and that she can bring down will affect the world.
Dude, when I hear about so many rich and powerful people that have this weird fetish, it makes me not want to become rich. Like, what is it with rich people in power that attracts them to that weirdness? You know, like, why is that, like, a common theme in this whole ordeal?
Yeah, it's pretty sick stuff. Just hope this woman lives, and you think she has to live, especially what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. You would think she had. There's no way all of a sudden we can wake up one morning, Ghislaine Maxwell's dead. There's no way. There's no way.
It's 2020, John. Anything can happen.
Jesus. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Queen there. And last month, a magazine called Total Guitar Magazine. And that's based in the United Kingdom, but they ranked guitarists, the all-time greatest guitarists, and Queen's Brian May, they said, was the greatest guitarist of all time.
And interesting. He
beat out Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen, Jimmy Page, and Stevie Ray Vaughan. But they're all great guitar players. That's what we were talking about earlier. Like, why does one have to be better than the other? They're all amazing. They're all fantastic guitar players, and it's subjective, isn't it? I mean, they're all sensational. Although Queen's Brian May, probably the smartest guitarist out of all of them, because he's the only one that has a college degree in astrophysics.
Well, that explains some of his guitar licks. He's spaced out.
So I mean, you know, we can go back and forth with the greatest guitarist, but maybe the smartest guitarist, Queen's Brian May, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I just read where a vintage Super Mario Brothers video game just sold for $114,000.
Cha-ching.
Now, I'm talking about just the little video game that many of us, when we were kids, bought at the store and then took it home and we put it into our gaming system. The actual game was released in 1995 for the Nintendo NES console.
Yep.
So I never had Nintendo. I had Atari.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine, Steve, had Nintendo. And I remember we used to go to his house and play the Super Mario Brothers. But why back in 1985 or 1984 when we were kids, why didn't we think of, or maybe our parents or somebody tell us, hey, if you go to the store and buy one of those video games, maybe buy two. And one of them, you never open. You just keep it in its package, and we'll put it in a safe box somewhere. And who knows, maybe 40 years from now, it'll be worth $114,000.
I didn't have that foresight at all. To me, it was a game. That's like saying, hey, I'm going to buy you this G.I. Joe doll, but don't open it. Like, why? It's an action figure. I got to play with it.
Yeah, an unopened copy of a vintage Super Mario Brothers video game has been sold for $114,000 in an auction that underscored the enduring popularity of some entertainment created decades ago. Now, if you remember, Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers, that came after Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And I remember Donkey Kong was my game when I was a kid. I remember with friends getting on bicycles, going to the arcade or going to the nearest diner or nearest place that had a Donkey Kong machine in the front lobby or wherever, and just putting quarter after quarter after quarter into the Donkey Kong machine. I loved Donkey Kong. And then after Donkey Kong, all of a sudden, here is Super Mario Brothers, and we didn't really know his name was Mario when we were playing Donkey Kong, but then all of a sudden, after Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers came out, and not only was there Mario, but he had a brother. What was it, Luigi?
Yeah, Luigi. And my favorite character.
And why did Mario and Luigi, why were these guys evidently Italian guys with Italian names,
mm-hmm.
but they were short, they had big fuzzy mustaches. Were they trying to make a point? Is that that's how all Italian guys look?
No, actually.
Is that a stereotype?
No, they designed a guy, Mario, and what happened was he looked like a guy named Mario in real life, like that worked for the company, for Nintendo. So when they made the character, his name was supposed to be Jumpman. But then there was this guy that worked. He was like the janitor or something. Like, hey, that guy looks like the guy we designed. And they just put two and two together and called him Mario.
I mean, you look at the video games the kids are playing today. Obviously, technologically.
Dude, they're like movies.
Yeah, they're incredible with the graphics and where we've come so far. But there's something to be said for those old games. And maybe that's just because that's when I was a kid. But this bidder who just dropped $114,000 on a game that back in 1985 probably cost us, what, 25 or 30 bucks?
Yeah.
When we bought that game to then bring it home and plug it into our Nintendo console?
John, I have to ask. Now, remember a few weeks ago we was talking about how much Kurt Cobain's guitar sold for the unplugged one, right?
Yeah, $6 million.
So it makes me wonder, what would you pay a lot of money for? What's one memorabilia from your childhood or something you remember? Like, is it Jimi Hendrix's headband? Is it Dee Snider's hair? Like, what kind of crazy money would you spend on any kind of novelty item of that such?
When I was a kid, when I was in high school, I had that poster of Farrah Fawcett hanging in my bedroom. Can you still buy those? Can you still buy those?
You probably can find it on Amazon or eBay.
Yeah, I wonder how much it would cost these days.
How much would you pay for it? That's the point. If this guy, if this guy's willing to pay for a $8 million guitar and this other guy's willing to pay you $100,000 for a video game.
Hey, if you're listening right now, Coleman just asked a good question. If there's something, you go back to your childhood and something you wish you saved or something you could have today. I mean, who would have thought Super Mario Brothers video game? Or right before that with the Atari. Remember Pitfall?
Oh, yeah.
I used to play Atari, and I was like, you know, Asteroids and Space Invaders. That stuff was so cool when you're a kid back then. I mean, I wonder what video games like that, if they're in perfect condition, they've never been taken out of the package, like a Space Invaders or a Pitfall from Atari. I wonder what that would be worth. Yeah, if you're listening right now, text us. If you could bring something back or if you could have kept something, what would it be? Our number is 504-260-9595. You could text us or you could call us. It's the same number. And if you text us, please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. Put either your first name or your initials at the end of the text. And if it adds to our show, we will read it coming up next. Let us know, what would you bring back from your childhood? And boy, I bet you, would it be worth a whole heck of a lot of money, like the $114,000 vintage Super Mario Brothers video game, here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Prayer itself. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. We were just talking about how a vintage Super Mario Brothers video game, the one that many of us played when we were kids on Nintendo, it came out in 1985. Well, someone had bought one, never opened it, never used it, kept it in great condition, and it just sold recently at an auction for $114,000.
Cha-ching.
It made me ask myself, why didn't anyone, my parents or someone in my life, tell me when I was playing video games when I was a kid? I had Atari. My friend had Nintendo, but I had Atari when I was playing Pitfall or Space Invaders or Asteroids. Maybe keep one of those, never open it. And then who knows, 40 years from now, it'll be worth tons of cash. Nobody ever told me that. And I asked you to text us if there's something that you could have held on to from when you were younger. I asked you to text us, and I said, because it's the same number, we'll grab a couple of phone calls, too. Good morning, Bayou.
Mine's a little different than a video game.
All right.
If I was going to save something, I would save some of the fishing lures that my grandfather had.
I bet you if you had vintage fishing lures and they were in good condition, I bet you they'd be worth a few bucks.
Yes, sir. I've seen them on eBay. They are worth some bucks, buddy.
Good morning, Bayou.
My virginity.
How much money would that be worth?
Priceless. God bless you.
Thank you.
Peace
for the call.
Love. Bye-bye.
Hey, coming up next, we got a few texts that are good as well with this. I just wish I knew way back in the day, had some of this stuff just to hang on to anything. Could have got us out of a lot of financial trouble. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlin, hanging with you. I'm glad we just played a Police song right now because that band fits in perfect with what we're talking about. Because in 1984 and 1985, the Police, I think, were the biggest rock band in the world, if I remember properly, when I was in high school. I remember sneaking out of school with friends, going to get the Synchronicity album when it came out. I remember that. But we were talking about how a vintage Super Mario Brothers video game just sold for $114,000.
Cha-ching!
Yeah, it was never opened. Someone just bought it and then threw it in the closet. And that Super Mario's video game was, again, it was released in 1985, and it was for the Nintendo NES console. And it brought back memories. My friend had a Nintendo. I had an Atari. And so we used to play Space Invaders and Asteroids and Pitfall on Atari. And my buddy He had the Nintendo, so we'd go over there and we'd play Super Mario Brothers, and it just brought back so many memories, and it just got me thinking to myself, why didn't anybody, a parent, an older relative, an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, somebody, tell me, you know, hang on to some of this stuff, or at least one or two of these things. Don't open it. Put it in a closet. Hang on to it for 40 years. Yeah, I'd be like, I just want to play the thing. How much did, you know, back in 1984 or 85, you know, a game like this probably cost, what, $20? Yeah. $20. What do you mean not open it? What do you mean put it in the closet for 30 or 40 years? What are you, insane? Have any idea it's going to be worth $114,000 all of these years later? And so I asked you to text us anything that you had from back then when you were a kid, if, what you remember or if you wish you held on to, it would have been worth maybe a lot of money today.
It amazes me how much of these I've actually owned myself or still have. Golf War Vet says the Disney read-along stories. That was pretty good.
Interesting.
JGM says Contra on Super Nintendo. Well, I think he's thinking about Super Contra because the original Contra was on the NES console like that. I still have Contra on the regular Nintendo, but Super Contra was on the Super Nintendo.
But I wonder if either of those games, if they were bought back then, never opened.
Oh, they would be worth Contra? Now,
Yes. Would it be just like Super Mario Brothers over
Maybe
here?
Not as much, but some of the Contra was one of the groundbreaking games. Wade from North Shore says, I bought a Rebel model of a Corvette back when I was 17 in 1984, and it was a misprint on the box, so he never opened it, and he still has it to this day.
It's got to be worth a lot of money.
Yep.
It's got to be.
Keith from Metairie. Good morning, fellas. I would bring back the Apple Crate bicycle.
The Apple Crate bicycle?
Yeah, I'm going to have to Google that. I have an idea of what it could be, but I don't know. All right, this is another one I could relate to. This text says, I used to have the original RoboCop and Ed-209 action figures, and I also had the Optimus Prime Transformer. Now, I had an Optimus Prime Transformer toy, too, when I was a kid, but the most frustrating thing was they had these Transformers called the Constructicons, and there was like a bulldozer and a crane and all that, and each one turned into an individual man. But if you get all five of them, you can put them together, make one big Constructicon. And I only got up to three before, you know, it all, like, Lionel's Playhouse closed down and I couldn't get them.
And you know what's interesting, though, about those video game consoles from back in the mid-80s, whether it was the Atari or whether it was the Nintendo, they were pretty small and pretty light. But at the same time, I remember my father bringing in a VCR. And I think he needed, and he was a tough guy, a strong guy. I think he needed a hand bringing it through the door. It was so heavy. You know, like, why was the VCR so heavy, but the video game consoles were so light?
Kai said her favorite video game was Centipede.
God, that was so much fun. I loved that game.
Edwin says, Sean Taylor jersey. All right.
Sean Taylor jersey. He was a defensive back for the University of Miami that then went to the Washington Redskins, who won't be the Redskins later on today. I think they're going to be the Warriors. They're changing their name. But Sean Taylor got murdered in his own house.
Whoa.
He was one of the best defensive backs to ever come out of the University of Miami.
I can see how that would be worth some sort of money, though. A few more. Big Rick says, old Hot Wheel cars. And this is another
Hot Wheels.
Yeah, this is another one I can relate to. As far as money goes, I wish I had all the quarters to beat the unwinnable game Dragon's Lair at Belle Promenade Mall. I remember that so vividly. It was this game called Dragon's Lair. And it's basically a cartoon movie that you actually play out. And you just make a decision that in certain scenes, but it was, you couldn't beat it. And it was just a quarter much. It just eats up quarters because every decision you made was a bad decision.
Man, back when we were kids, much like Blockbuster Video, how there was a time when you never thought Blockbuster Video was going to go away. And now there's literally one Blockbuster Video store left in the world, on the planet, and it's in Bend, Oregon, and it still makes money. But when I was in high school, video arcades, they were always packed. And kids were just firing quarters into these games left and right. And you know, who knew that there was only a finite life?
Yeah.
Because pretty soon, every kid in there was going to be playing those games at home on their own television.
Somebody should take that Blockbuster and put it back in a wrapping and hold it in the closet. It could be worth money 20, 30 years from now.
I bet you it'll be. Yeah, go wrap up that store out in Bend, Oregon. I bet you that's going to be worth a lot of money. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. And I know the video games today, that the technology, they're absolutely incredible to look at and to play. But when we were kids, when I was a kid back in the 80s, there was something to be said about those video games, like Donkey Kong. I mean, you had to rescue a girl who was kidnapped by a gorilla, and to rescue her, you had the gorilla throwing barrels at you. I mean, you're trying to rescue a girl while a gorilla is throwing barrels at you. I mean, it seems simple, but you know, I think we learned a lot when we were kids. That helped us, I think, as we got older. Hey, look, if we could rescue a girl when there's a gorilla throwing barrels at us, while we got to climb up ladders and such, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And by the way, in Miami, Florida, a gorilla named Shango just tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh.
A gorilla has COVID-19. And coming up next, more on the latest with the bars closing around here. And hang out with us. That totally sucks. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And so, on Saturday, our governor, John Taco Bell Edwards, had a press conference, and you knew it was going to be serious when the governor says, I've got to call an emergency press conference on a Saturday.
In 100-degree weather.
Yeah, during a heat wave, by the way. And we're coming close to, if not breaking records with heat. But anyways, so he has the press conference on Saturday, and he says that everybody in the state is now mandated to wear a mask. No matter where you go in any building, in any business, anywhere, you have to have a mask on. I mean, even if you're just going into a restaurant, you have to have a mask on, even if you just go in and then sit down and take it off to eat and drink and such. But you have to have a mask on every business you go into. And this is because the cases in positive tests for coronavirus have been rising. They've been going up. And the other thing that he said was that all bars in the state of Louisiana are closed. Bars, they can stay open, but they can only serve curbside and to-go drinks. And even if the bar also sells food, still, no one can sit at a bar. Even if they're eating food, you can't sit at a bar in Louisiana because they're saying that they've done contact tracing and they can say that through their contact tracing that people are catching coronavirus at bars.
I wonder how that contact tracing works. Is it that they just, like, the people they test, they ask where they've been, and it just so happens that everybody says the bar, even though, let's say you have five people, one probably got it at a park, one got it at a library, but they all been to a bar, so the bar is the common denominator of where they went, even though the bar might not be where they actually come from, or do the doctor ask specifically, did you go to a bar, to kind of single it out, because you could get it from anywhere, but if you say, yeah, I went to the airport, then I went to the bar, then I went to McDonald's, you probably got it at McDonald's, but if you said the word bar, and then everybody says they went to a bar, it just seems like, well, it must be the bar.
Yeah. Seemingly, Coleman, and we've gotten so many mixed messages, and I mean, do you believe all of these, all of these numbers that you're seeing? I mean, I see people waiting in line, and the many, many, many more people are getting tested now than they have been in the past. And so we're going to see more tests. And look, I'm convinced at least 10 times the amount of people who they say have coronavirus had it at some point. I think you can multiply whatever number that they have. You can multiply it by 10 because most people got sick for 2 or 3 days, rested, and got better, and then got on with their lives. But this is where we're at right now, and I feel awful for not only the bar owners, but all of the employees that work in the bars, the bartenders, the waiters, the waitresses. This sets them back. And I know here in New Orleans think about that for a second. Here we are in the summer in New Orleans. There's no live music. There bars are all closed. I mean, those are two arteries of New Orleans, of the heart of New Orleans. Those are two arteries. Going to see live music, drinking at a bar, those are two things that we can't do for the foreseeable future.
And no festivals. You know, you're supposed to have the Essence Fest, Jazz Fest, and all that. None of that happened.
Yeah, we've known that for a while, though, but this totally stinks. And this has become so political, like everything else is political. I see on social media, my Facebook friends, some of them say, hey, wear the mask. Stop thinking about yourself. What do you want to kill other people? And then I see other people saying that this is unconstitutional. The governor cannot shut down businesses like this. And now, if businesses don't want to listen, they can fine you up to $500. And again, I don't know if you take that to court, if that'll be able to stand up in court. But this is where we're at right now. And I've seen stories of where people have lined up in different parts of the country and around here too. People have lined up to go get tested for COVID, but they have to wait a long time, an hour, 2 hours, and then they run out of the tests. They run out of the supplies to test. And I've read where even if that's the case, they'll say that person tested positive. Now, some people have said that. I don't know if that's true or not. But I do know that gorilla in Miami named Shango tested positive for COVID-19. Oh. Listen, how does a gorilla get a test when there's a lot of humans that they're waiting hours and they still can't get tested?
It was funny. They tested him after he got bit by his brother. So who, like, the gorilla got bit by another gorilla and someone said, maybe we should test him for COVID-19. Like, what? And then he ended up testing positive. Like, how did that happen?
And that didn't even happen in a bar either.
No, just like tiger. A tiger earlier caught COVID-19. Like,
yeah, we talked about that before. Anyways, look, this sucks. This is a downtime. But you know what? People in Louisiana, people in New Orleans, resilient, tough. We'll get through this. I know it sucks, but we will get through this. I know Coleman on Saturday, when the governor shut down all of the bars, you took to Facebook saying that Saturday was the saddest day of your life.
I was literally sitting at a bar watching John Bedehevers tell me that, yeah, this is it. So I looked around. Look, I had one of those last episode of Cheers moments. I just looked around the bar like, yep, this is it. I have to make it worthwhile. Just bought all the drinks after that.
And we don't know when they're going to open again. And I can go out on a limb and say it won't be this summer. I can tell you that. And I hopefully in the fall if we're lucky. Coming up on the show, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Our band, the Ask Clowns, we do stupid song parodies. Ask Clowns are the official band of the John Osterlin Morning Show. And our latest song is Facebook Fighting, because every time you go onto Facebook, you see so many people fighting with each other. And we made a video for it. And we've got that video for you. It's on our website. Go check out the video when you get a second at bayou957.com. I'm logging onto Facebook. And I'm on the lookout. Look out! Whoa, ho, ho, ho! Everybody's Facebook fighting. Fingers as fast as lightning. And it's never very frightening. Cause they only battle while typing. If I don't like what you say, I will block your ass today. Got 8 likes on my last post, so that means I know the most. If you don't agree with me, I'll unfriend you so easy. I'm on my soapbox all the time, because I'm trying to change your mind. Everybody was Facebook fighting.
Hey man, go f*** yourself. You don't know what you're talking about.
Fingers as fast as lightning.
Where'd you get your f***ing information from?
And it's never very frightening.
If you believe that, just unfriend me.
Cause they only battle while they're typing.
You know what, you piece of f***? You're blocked.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show. And it's that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man bites seagull after it tried to steal his McDonald's food. Guy got arrested for this, too.
Wait, he got arrested for it?
Yeah, you can't be biting seagulls, Coleman.
But seagulls can't be stealing food.
No, that's what he said.
The hell?
No. Don't mess with people's food. A McDonald's customer was arrested after he bit a seagull after it tried to steal his meal. The suspect reportedly attacked the bird in front of authorities. This happened in England, in the city of Plymouth.
Oh, really?
Officers, bobbies, they're called over there, from a local unit were on patrol when they witnessed the incident in the city of Plymouth, England. So which incident did the bobbies witness? Did they witness the seagull stealing the food? Or did they witness the man grabbing the seagull and biting it?
I would say they probably witnessed both.
But if they're like NFL officials, Coleman, they usually only see the retaliation. They never see what made the guy take a swing at the guy that he took a swing at. The animal apparently appeared to be injured as a result of being bitten by the man, but it flew away before authorities could inspect it. The suspect, according to the police report right here, listen to this. The suspect admitted to being under the influence of drugs.
What?
Yeah, Coleman, to bite a seagull, you would have to be on dope. Some sort of dope.
No. I'm if a seagull did steal my... Like, I work hard for my money. And if I go buy a Happy Meal from McDonald's and a seagull tries to take my Happy Meal, I'm sorry. I'm doing whatever it takes to keep the seagull away, even if that means biting, whether I'm on drugs or not. So, I mean, he shouldn't have said he was on drugs. I think that didn't help his case out, but I can't put this one on the drugs.
The suspect was taken into custody since seagulls are a protected species in that area.
Oh, so they could just get away with anything over there.
The McDonald's eater is reportedly facing up to 6 months in prison or a fine of about $6,000.
Nope.
It's a lot of french fries.
Nope.
How about that? They take biting seagulls seriously in Plymouth, England. Huh.
That's not fair.
Well, a man biting a seagull after it tried to steal his McDonald's food and then being arrested for it, and he may face some harsh penalties. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Coming up next, the Washington Redskins just had an announcement. They said they are no longer the Redskins, but they did not say what their new name is yet. And then they said something that's got me really scratching my head. You're not going to believe this. That's next on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So the Washington Redskins just had a press conference this morning. And they announced they're retiring their team name. They really had no choice. Last week we were talking about how Nike pulled all of their merchandise with that name off of their websites. They're, you can't buy any of it. Amazon said that they're not selling any of their merchandise, T-shirts, hats, any of the stuff with the Redskins name on it. And then other big corporations as well said they're pulling all of their money from them. They had no choice. But listen to this. They have a press conference this morning. They said they're retiring the team name and the logo, but they haven't come up with a new name yet. They will soon. But listen to what they said. And I'm quoting here. Today we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of our review. Owner Dan Snyder and head coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design. What do you mean head coach Ron? Ron Rivera now is going to be part of naming the team and designing their logo?
Why does that surprise you?
He's a football coach. He was the Carolina Panthers coach for years, and now he's just taken over at that horrible organization, the Washington team. So he's going to be in the office with a pen?
He might be multi-talented.
But he was a linebacker for the Chicago Bears when he played in the NFL. What this guy is now is going to be sitting down with the owner, and he's going to have drawing materials and paper in front of him, and he's going to come up with a new name and a new logo?
That's not beyond the realm of the dude. I produce the show, design logos, do videos, do music. It's possible to have multi-talents.
That was bizarre. Dan Snyder, the owner, and Coach Ron Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design, unquote. This is what the coach is doing? I mean, they're going to be reporting for football practice very soon as the season will get going. I know they're probably not going to be playing in front of anybody. They'll be playing in empty stadiums. But this is what the coach is dealing with right now?
Hey, if the guitarist and the queen could be an astrophysicist, anything's possible.
I've got this quarterback situation. I got to figure out what I'm doing with my linebackers, and we got issues on the offensive line. Oh, and you want me to come up with a new logo for the team?
The Washington Progressives.
Unbelievable. Hey, it's our commercial free ride right now. We're in it now here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only, classic rock station.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.